We're just about to go out to the folks at Labor Radio, who are going to tell you all about what's going on at Kaiser, all about what's going on at Fred Meyer, all about what's going on, all over the region, the Northwest region, and maybe nationally with folks like Amtrak, who are getting rid of union jobs by getting rid of dining car service on Amtrak. I'm sad about this. I love taking Amtrak, and I love seeing all these unionized people on there. Let's make sure that the Labor Radio people get a shout out. So give us a call. Go online at kboo.fm or give us a call, 877-500-5266 or 877-500-KBOO.
You're listening to 90.7 FM, KBOO, Portland, Oregon. Stay tuned for Labor Radio. KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who have donated food to our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Bridges Cafe and Catering, located at 2716 Northeast MLK Jr. Boulevard. Bridges Cafe and Catering is a restaurant and catering company located in Northeast Portland on the corner of MLK Jr. and Northeast Knott Street. Their kitchen is about 75% organic, open daily. Lunch was provided by Flying Pie Pizzeria, located in Montevilla at 7804 Southeast Stark Street, open daily from lunch to dinner, serving a variety of pizzas. Dinner was provided by Boke Bowl, with two locations at 1028 Southeast Water Avenue and 1200 Northwest 18th Street at Northrop. Boke Bowl serves ramen of handmade noodles, unique slow-simmered dashis, and more. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give right now. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Grendel's Coffee House, located at East Burnside Street and 8th Avenue in Portland, offering organic coffee, daily soup specials, sandwiches, and more for breakfast and lunch. Open daily until 5 p.m. More information on the Grendel's Facebook page and by phone at 503-595-9550.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
So we're talking with A.J. Mendoza, who is Legislative Chair for CWA, Communication Workers of America, Local 7901. So A.J., what are you excited about in the labor movement, either with your local or statewide or nationally? What are you excited about?
Good evening and welcome to Labor Radio of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. This is Jamie Partridge, your host, and you're going to be hearing about a dozen interviews from the Oregon AFL-CIO convention this past weekend in Seaside.
So I'm speaking with...
Good evening and welcome to Labor Radio of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. This is Jamie Partridge, your host, and you're going to be hearing about a dozen interviews from the Oregon AFL-CIO convention this past weekend in Seaside.
So I'm speaking with Barbara Bird, the outgoing Secretary Treasurer of the Oregon AFL-CIO. In your last few days of your term, Barbara, tell us what you find exciting about the labor movement right now, here, either here in Oregon or nationally.
So I will just talk about here in Oregon, Jamie. I am really excited to see the organizing that's going on right now. I think one of the biggest problems we've got now is our loss of density and therefore our declining power to really make change in this state for workers. And there have been some very cool organizing drives going on with AFSCME and the Machinists Union and lots of others, AFT, graduate students organizing and so on. I love to see that. I love to see especially that a lot of that organizing is focused on young workers, of whom we need lots more in our movement. I'm excited to see new leadership coming in to our affiliated unions, especially young women, women of color. It's just, it's kind of extraordinary to me how quickly that's happening. And part of it's the Me Too movement that's energized people. We've been doing this Fix the Gap campaign at Fred Meyer, talking about wage inequities between men and women that work at Fred Meyer. And it's extraordinary to me how that campaign has captured the imagination of women, not just in the labor movement, but in NARAL and other women's organizations and out in the community. And just talking to women going into Fred Meyer to shop, how quickly they go, yeah, that's right, wage inequities affect me too. And it's just, it's kind of cool. We're in a really transitional moment, and a good moment, I think. And the challenge to us in the labor movement is to take advantage of that.
Talk some more about the challenges that we're facing.
Oh, I was hoping to avoid all of the depressing stuff, but our union density in Oregon is down to about 14.7%. It's about 10.5% nationwide. That's way too low. There's 1.5 million workers in Oregon who are unorganized. That's a big challenge, and we saw it in this last legislative session where the legislators, we have a supermajority of Democrats, and yet they voted against labor's interests on a couple of very significant bills, because I think they don't think we've got it. So we have to show them that we do. So that's one, you know, that's a challenge for us to organize. It's a challenge for our political strength in this state. I think we have a challenge building a bigger tent, building a labor movement that reflects the workforce so that there are more young people, more women, more people of color, more immigrants, more low-income workers in our movement. I think we have to do that, and it's hard. It's hard work, and it takes resources, and it takes a long-term commitment. We're working on it.
So should be our next steps? In your humble opinion.
If I knew that, I would be staying
as you're walking off into the sunset.
I think we're doing those next steps. I think that we are, at the AFL-CIO, we've started the Oregon Women Labor Leaders Group that has brought women together who are currently in leadership, women who are moving up in their unions, to talk about what their situations are and to share ideas and to support each other. I mean, I think that's a really important first step. I think that our work in the community is the other piece of this. We have to get out more. We have to get outside of our silos, interact with community organizations. You know, we work closely with CAUSA Oregon, which is an immigrant advocacy group. As you know, they share office space with us, and we do a lot of work politically with them. We worked with them on the driver's license legislation in this last session, and we'll work with them to protect the driver's license legislation at the ballot next year. And that work is super important, and that's a step we can take now to try to build this larger tent. And personally for me, it's also about climate change and about trying to move a climate agenda in this state that will create more union jobs but also protect existing jobs. It's a real challenge, but we've been doing some good work, I think, with environmental organizations and with the Oregon Just Transition Alliance, trying to figure out what are our common interests, how can we work together, even though sometimes it's really hard. And so I almost feel like we take these little baby steps building these relationships, and then there's a crisis, and we have to step back, and then we get back together, and we take some more baby steps, but that work is so important, and it's not easy, and we have to do it. And I think those are things we can do right now.
Great. Thank you, Barbara Byrd, Secretary Treasurer of the Oregon AFL-CIO.
Thank you, Jake.
I'm here with Bob Bussell, who is Director of the Labor Education and Research Center at the University of Oregon. Thanks for being with us tonight, Bob. What do you think are the most exciting things happening in the labor movement here locally or nationally right now?
I'd say the most exciting things really are the many examples of workers taking direct and collective action and acts of solidarity that accompany that. So beginning with teacher strikes, and now it's spreading into the private sector with the auto workers. We see examples of it going on in our state, potentially at my university, where the unions on campus are saying that they're mad as hell and they're not going to take it anymore. And I think the thing that's coming out of that is we're also seeing what it does when you engage in collective action and acts of, in the practice of solidarity, and you begin to win. And there's something that's infectious and contagious about that. So I think there really is a new mood that's sweeping both the state and the country. And also, I think our politics is beginning to pick up on that too. If you look at labor standards and protections we've been able to pioneer with in Oregon, with the possibility of doing more and then extending that nationally, I think it's a very exciting and hopeful time amidst, of course, the larger dreariness of the Trump administration and its just ongoing attacks on workers, immigrants, and public institutions and everything else. But I see a lot of fight back going on, and I'm really encouraged by that.
And you mentioned a few of the challenges that we're up against. What are some of the other challenges that the labor movement is facing right now?
Well, certainly just the continuing difficulties in terms of organizing new members, particularly in the private sector, while I think there's been a real good response on the part of many unions to the Janus decision, we still are dealing with that and the loss of membership and resources that we need. That's a piece of it. The relentless attacks on workers' rights and public institutions that are still continuing, and just the conscious efforts to try to divide and pit workers against each other. So these are not necessarily new challenges, but they remain, and the union movement, I think there's an opportunity, a moment to be seized, and I think shame on us if we do not fully seize that in terms of how we behave, the resources we devote, and at some level the risks that we are willing to take.
So can you talk a little bit more specifically about what you think our next steps should be as a movement, both locally and nationally?
Well, I think that we have to really, in terms of any union, you look now at the United Food and Commercial Workers, for example, and Fred Meyer, we need to, at all levels, think about what it takes to win and to support that happening. So certainly the practice and the very serious practice of solidarity, I think, is critically important. I think capitalizing on things that we've gotten through legislation, for example, the Student Success Act and the opportunities that provides unions in public education to, in a very assertive way, to say we're going to finally get the schools our students deserve, and to build on that, to take on larger fights around, the fundamental problem we face with revenue in this state. We still haven't solved that by any means. We have to continue that. I just think anywhere where we can defend public institutions and fight against privatization and fight against the idolization of the market, that's enormously important to do. And just supporting organizing. It is the lifeblood of the union movement. It's our central mission. I think we just need to up our game and our commitment there wherever we possibly can. And I would finally say, I think the UAW strike, I take nothing away from the public sector strikes. They've been great. They're important. But I think things like the Fred Meyer and UAW, we really need to be able to win in the private sector. So I think that's something we've got to really focus our energy, attention, and commitment on.
Great. Thanks, Bob Bussell with LIRC. You've been listening to Labor Radio and the AFL-CIO convention, speaking with Oregon labor leaders. I'm Jamie, your co-host tonight, and it's KBOO's fall membership drive. Where else are you going to hear this kind of interview, this kind of reporting of labor leadership in the state of Oregon? Nowhere. And here to tell you more about why you should support KBOO
is Conch.
Yeah, hey, Jamie, I'm here with Emma, and we are celebrating labor activism, and we're also celebrating that we have a member who has called in for a $10 a month pledge of support. That's Woo-hoo. Brett from Kalama, Washington.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you.
And we want to make sure that more people can call in. If you can't call in for whatever reason, you can go to your device and go on the KBOO app or go at kboo.fm and find out how to pledge support. But the best way we find is to talk to one of our happy volunteers behind us, and that number is 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. And, you know, we do have a huge reach here at KBOO. If you don't even need a computer to get into KBOO's signal. You can be anywhere in Northwest Oregon or Southwest Washington, like Brett is in Kalama. We love folks in Southwest Washington. We love folks out in the Gorge and in the Valley who are part of KBOO's signal and want to call in 877-500-5266.
Yeah, you're listening to Labor Radio tonight, and programs like Labor Radio are brought to you because KBOO is a station that really values community voices. There is no place else in Oregon or in the surrounding region where you're going to hear every week programming like this. This is programming from the labor movement, from workers, from unions. Almost every other form of media that exists is union busting, it's corporate, it's against the interests of workers. Whereas KBOO is the voice of workers. But the only way that we can support this kind of programming is through your donation. Maybe you could consider giving 1 hour a month, whatever your wage is. That's a great way to do it. That's something that I do. So if you make $15 an hour, which is a living wage, then consider giving $15 once a month to KBOO. Give us a call at 877-500-5266. Or you can go online at kboo.fm and pledge there. We love Labor Radio. Labor Radio is a tradition here at KBOO. It's been here for so many years, and it's a great source of news and information from the workers and from the working class. And KBOO is your station. We're the station that brings you these voices of workers and the voices of the working class. And it's so precious. It's so unique. And the only way that we're going to do that is if you can support KBOO. So give us a call today. We really need your support. We love our listeners, and so give us a call today.
So I'm here with Willie Groeschel, who's the president of the Oregon State Association of Letter Carriers. So Willie, what do you find exciting about our labor movement today?
Well, there's a lot of push that wasn't there before. People have been really woken up, and there seems to be a lot more engagement with labor in general. Our approval ratings are higher than they've been in 50 years. We've got workers at all levels organizing to try and become unionized. We have workers that are willing to stand up and go out in the picket line and demand their rights and their benefits and their pay and make sure that they get their fair share for all the hard work and labor they're doing. There's a lot of things happening that are exciting that haven't really been happening in years. So I'm really encouraged by just the general movement building that seems to be happening around the country. And I'm optimistic as I see that happening on all levels.
And what do you see as our challenges at this point in building our movement?
Our challenges are always going to be getting our message out there. The way the system is set up now, it is hard for the working class voices to get raised up to the front of the line when it comes to media and just general public discourse. We're getting there. There's more people getting out in the streets. There's more people bringing these things forward. But that's always going to be our struggle because we have so much wealth and power that's trying to keep our voices down that we always have to find new and inventive ways to get past that pushback and actually get our voices heard.
So what new and inventive ways do we need to come up with, or what are our next steps?
I would love to see next steps. I would love to see labor history curriculum become a part of our country's education system. We're already starting to see younger people, as they're entering the workforce, really start to value the appreciation of what a union can do for them. And I would love to see that being put into the consciousness of our children in school. I would love to see us actually make efforts to, on the local, county, state level, you know, ground up, get it where part of the curriculum of an education in this country is understanding what the labor movement has done, what the labor movement has sacrificed, and what the labor movement still stands for and represents to the working class people of this country and the world, for that matter. That would be really encouraging, because I think when our stories and our histories of our fights and struggles get learned by people, they can relate to it and they care about what we do. The problem is so much of that isn't heard until, if ever, in people's lifetimes. And if we can get that much more mainstreamed, our movement will just keep growing.
Great. Thank you, Willie Groeschel, president of the Oregon State Association of Letter Carriers. We're talking to Scott Oldham, who's a organizer with the Painters Union, Local 10. Scott, what's exciting that's going on with your local, with the labor movement in general? What's your thoughts about what's happening right now?
Well, part of what's exciting is that I've moved on now from organizer, and now I've been elected as the business rep for Local 10. We're a split local of painters and tapers, and the exciting part is that we just wrapped up our drywall finishing CBA.
Collective bargaining agreement.
Yes. And in that, it was one of the largest raises that's ever been negotiated, so we're super excited about that.
How did you do that?
How did we do that? Well, we went ahead and got the just organized the members together, and the last time we'd had a negotiations, we had actually authorized a strike with a vote. We never ended up on strike, and I think this time going into it, they knew that we were very serious about that, and we had collected. Along the way, we've built up a bit of a war chest for a strike fund, and I think you know, having that leverage going into there is probably what made all the difference. I think the contractors have taken us much more seriously than in the past, and so that's where we're at right there. As far as the future goes, we're going into negotiations next with the painters, and that's for the commercial and industrial side, and commercial industry kind of includes, like, you know, think of like, you know, a Fred Meyer's or a tank that, you know, holds water or something that, or high rise. They have been in a situation, they lost a strike 35 years ago, which can happen. You don't necessarily get to win all strikes. So 35 years ago, and then they from there they inherited essentially a mandatory arbitration piece, and so at the end of every negotiation, they ended up in mandatory arbitration every time. And so when I came in, the first thing that I'd assessed, that the first thing we need to do is get rid of mandatory arbitration. We got rid of that in the last negotiations. And so now, as negotiations are starting up in January, we now have the ability to strike. And so the big...
That's huge.
It's, yeah, it's
how
the
did
thing.
You do that?
How did I do it? I just simply asked the right questions, and then I would just say that we kind of came to a place in the negotiations. They actually didn't take us seriously is what really what happened. I mean, if you're going to be honest about it, because they had 35 years of running over the top of us, when we said we're not going to negotiate over mandatory arbitration, they just took it so lightly and did not take it seriously. They're like, we always get what we want. This is not a real thing. And then as negotiations ended, they realized that, oh, no, they had indeed lost the ability for mandatory arbitration going forward, and we now have the strike. So with that, here we are now. We have some months in front of us, and so now it's all about preparation and pulling all the workers, basically just organizing. Everything else I've learned is really kind of out the door. The fact is that we just simply got to organize people to you know, in solidarity to act on one item. And so here we are. It's about family wages. We run about $6 to $20 less than all the rest of the building trades. And so it's time to organize.
Yeah. So. And it seems like the strike is back.
And the strike is back. The good news is everywhere I look is everybody's striking. We've always been supporting everybody's strike. We've got out on every, even no matter how small the strike, for the last, 10 plus years, I went out and supported everyone and made sure that I was there with them and just identified ourselves as IUPAT, as Union Strong With You, and we support you. And so that knowing that someday that this, that I would also need to ask for support from the unions. And so super excited. I know I'll get it. I'm not even worried about it. So
all right.
Super excited.
Thank you, Scott Oldham, Painters Local 10.
Hi, I'm Amanda Hill, your co-host. I'm here on Labor Radio on KBOO.FM, the only radio station in the Portland area that's going to bring you information on what's going on in the labor movement. We keep you up to date on the issues, the fights, and the wins in the local scene. And we're here tonight also doing our fall membership drive, and we're going to turn you on over to Conch and Emma.
Yes. And we are back. So tonight we are talking about labor, and we're talking about the products of labor, which include money. And that's why we're here right now to talk to you. You're listening to KBOO Community Radio. It's our fall membership drive. And it is funded by you, our listeners, and by your labor and by your work. And we are just calling, we're just taking a few minutes out right now, me and Conch, and we want to just talk to you about why we love this radio station. This radio station matters so much to us. I'm here tonight pitching for Labor Radio specifically because I love the working class. I love unions, and I love everything that Labor Radio stands for. And I think that this kind of programming means so much to me, and it means so much to you. And if you really care about what you're hearing right now, I just want to let you know that we really need your support. That's the only way that we can bring this programming to you every month, every week, is through your support. So if you'll consider giving $15 a month or whatever you can afford, give us a call at 877-500-5266.
We've been hearing about strikes. Strikes are back is what the folks are saying on Labor Radio there. And this is really important. This is our theme. This membership drive is Mic to the People. And the people are back. The people are striking. They're striking for the climate in the case of the young people from around the world. They're striking for wages and for equity in places where there's gender inequity. And this is really important. This is where we need people to stand up and stand by the side of the folks who are not being treated right. And this is where Labor Radio comes in. And this is where you come in as well, because we are bringing you this news. We are bringing you these voices. And we think this is important. And if you think this is important, it's really important for you to go to KBOO.FM right now, where it'll say Mic to the People. It'll take you through to a page where you can become a member. You can get a gift membership for some of your friends or family. But the best way, really, to become a member is to go to the phone and call 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. That will take you to a volunteer who is very much oriented in how to find you the best way to become a member, to give a little bit of your money right up front to the source of all this important news and information, so that you can stand in solidarity with KBOO, and KBOO can stand in solidarity with the folks who are striking for a livable planet, who are striking for equity, who are striking for living wages. KBOO.FM, come down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue if you like. We'll give you a cup of coffee. Or call 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO.
Pat Riggs Henson, who is the president of the Lane County Central Labor Council and the AFSCME Council 75 retirees.
President,
yes. So, Pat, tell us what's exciting for you about what's happening with the labor movement.
What's happening with me is because I've become so involved with the retirees. I'm finding that we're doing a connection with what they call the next wave. So our young people and our retirees are starting to realize how powerful we are. Both groups are like the fastest growing union population. Retirees are growing at an amazing rate, and we vote, where we often talk to the next wave, and those are the kids that have got all the energy and they're out and they're just stimulating. They're the next wave. We're now called the silver tsunami. So it's like you get a lot of water there and a lot of movement. And you know, you agitate water and it can be pretty powerful. So for me, it's exciting that we have so many people paying attention. This is a time when we have the ability to reach out. That's when we're coming into an election cycle for 2020, that's gold.
Mm. And so what do you feel like are our main challenges or barriers facing our movement right now?
I think some of the main challenges for me is as I'm going out and talking with people, I don't feel like I'm reaching the people who don't have access to a union or active family members or people who are paying attention. So I have a lot of people voting, and they're voting in a way that they're just not being educated. And we lose votes when people go, I don't know, understand, I'm not paying attention, I don't vote. So my challenge at this point is how do we reach out to more people to educate when I don't have as many people, even the young ones, who want to go door to door anymore. They don't want to do it. It's not comfortable, and they don't think it's fun. I think it's fun, but then I'm unusual. The other thing is that when we're text messaging, I get through to so many people, especially my retirees. They want to be texted. They have a choice. They don't have to be mean and say no when you're on the phone to a human. They can actually respond how they want to. So it's finding that vehicle that works for people who are either not technical, where they're not going to answer to anything, whether it's a phone call or a text message or an email, and the people who basically, you know, don't tune in on any other way because they stay home. Our problem is we can't have them stay home this time, or we lose naturally if they stay home.
And so what do you think our next steps are moving forward? What should we be doing as a movement?
For me as a movement, I really have to be able to get the groups to talk to each other. We have different parties that are out there. We have different labor unions that are out there. We have different activists. We have so many people who are active. We have to get together. So next step for me is for like the Lane County Labor Chapter, we're reaching out to all of our affiliates, and I'm reaching beyond that to all unions. I don't think we have the luxury of staying just AFL-CIO, and others agree. We have to reach out. I'm reaching out to my strong boys. I'm reaching out to my community groups. We are magnificent if we're together. We're not on the same page, and I'm reaching out to the environmentalists because they have as much to lose as we do in the long term here. So, you know, sometimes it's not easy for everybody to be in the same room, and they have to work through some of the minutiae before we can get to a balance, but I'm okay with that. So it's that coming together we have to do. And I think a lot of times our political parties are right now kind of fisticuffing over, especially Democrats, one too many people in the race for president, whatever. So they just have to settle out of that in order to be effective.
All right. Thank you, Pat Riggs Henson. All right. Here, I'm here with Jeff Anderson, who's the Secretary Treasurer of the United Food and Commercial Workers, Local 555, and the President of the Northwest Oregon Labor Council. Jeff, thanks for being with us.
Sure, welcome.
And tell us, Jeff, what do you think is exciting that's going on in the labor movement here in Oregon or nationally?
I don't think I've seen a time where there's been more local labor union activity in probably 25, 30 years. And I say that when you see that healthcare workers are talking about a strike. You're hearing university workers talking about a strike. My union, the grocery industry, we're talking about a strike. It's almost like there's this flow of blood, of energy and activity that's reviving the labor movement.
And so what do you think are the challenges that are facing us at this point?
I think it's institutional. I think some of the things that we confront daily includes legislators that don't necessarily support labor agendas, working class agendas. They're not always reliably there. So we have to figure out how can we put more people of labor backgrounds, labor-minded, into elective office.
So what do you think are the next steps for our labor movement?
Well, short-term is that we just came off a legislative session that's seen working people in many ways go backwards. We've seen prevailing wage bill that should have been a no-brainer get killed. We had the Oregon Taxpayer Reimbursement Act get killed. We've seen the Oregon Corporate Accountability Act get killed. We've seen a PERS bill pass that's just devastating, that had no real participation of workers in collective bargaining involved in that entire process.
And how do we get to a better spot? What are our next steps?
I think building political independence, being able to do things out of the box. A lot of it is, I work with the Oregon Working Families Party, looking at supporting candidates that support workers. And sometimes that means you're in a primary contest. Sometimes that means you're in a general election contest. But start literally tying and binding the workers together, the unions together in solidarity.
All right. Jeff Anderson, Secretary Treasurer of UFCW Local 555. Thanks, Jeff.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And you've been listening to Labor Radio of the Working Class, by the Working Class, for the Working Class, where you will hear workers' voices and tonight the voices of Oregon labor leaders at the AFL-CIO convention this past weekend, where you will not hear this kind of messaging anywhere in the corporate media, only here on Labor Radio and on KBOO. And for that reason, you need to support KBOO. And we're going to listen to hear from Conch and Emma about the message.
Thank you, Jamie. Yes, I'm here with Emma. I'm Conch.
Hello.
And we are delighted to hear all this great field recording from the AFL-CIO convention. This is something that is exclusive to KBOO, and you know that the people at the AFL-CIO convention were delighted to have somebody from broadcast radio in the room. And you can support that. You can support that by calling 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. Jemima, our sister in Northeast Portland, has called to renew her membership. Thank you, Jemima. That is fantastic.
Thank you.
And we're waiting for you, too. You know, a little bit of education here. When this is a study, every study of wages has shown, and you won't necessarily see this in the corporate media, that when labor is strong, all wages go up, including the non-unionized labor. So it's important to keep labor strong. It's important if you want to be able to keep affording your rent, keep affording your mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we're talking about PERS. You know, this is pensions. Pensions are something that people have paid into for their entire career. And to say that, well, we can't afford pensions anymore, is saying we want to steal that money that you've paid into. We are the outlet. KBOO is the outlet that goes out there and reports the facts, the uncomfortable facts. We need you to help us. We need you to step up right now to go to kboo.fm. Click on that donate screen where it says Mic to the People. We need you to come into 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Say hello. Grab a cup of coffee. We give you thank you gifts when you come in.
Thank you.
And we want you to call and talk to our volunteers. Call right
now,
please. What's the number, Emma?
It's 877-500-5266. I was listening to that program a couple of minutes ago, and they were talking about getting the workers organized. And that this particular party that they were talking about is a party like for working people. And it just made me think about how KBOO is really the radio station for working people. I can't think of any other radio station that gives so much voice to the community, that talks about labor, that talks about environment, that talks about race, that talks about the arts, that has the most amazing range of eclectic music programming. KBOO is really a treasure, and the only way that we can keep going from month to month is through your donation. Right now, we really need your money. That's why we're doing this pledge drive, because we are running a deficit right now, and the way that we get out of a deficit is through your donations. So if you can consider giving us a call, you know, maybe $15 a month, whatever you can give, give us a call at 877-500-5266 or go online at kboo.fm. And now back to Labor Radio. Thank you.
So we're talking with A.J. Mendoza, who is Legislative Chair for CWA, Communication Workers of America, Local 7901. So A.J., what are you excited about in the labor movement, either with your local or statewide or nationally? What are you excited about?
Well, I'm really excited about this resolution that we are moving here at the Oregon AFL-CIO convention this weekend that is going to be addressing gender equity, our gender gendered language in our documents, and an encouragement to all of the affiliated unions to make those changes. I think it's sort of a long overdue thing. It's a thing that might seem like, oh, like kind of a thing that's just wording, but I think there's layers of why it's important.
I'm pleased to say that my union has just made those changes in our local bylaws, and it was actually brought up, I expected it to be brought up by a young person, but it was actually one of our retirees that said, wow, it's time for this. Of course it was a woman. So what do you look at? What other kinds of things are you excited about in the labor movement or in your local or here at the convention?
I think for my local, we just ratified a contract at VOES, Workers' Rights Education Project. So we're kind of one handful of unions in Oregon that organize mission-based nonprofits. And so that's sort of, I think, it can be like a rub for people who are like, oh wait, like shouldn't nonprofits like kind of accept like that to take on some for the team or to have like a little bit more closer to the experience of poverty in their working lives. And we like, I think, are starting to change that narrative of no, like nonprofit workers deserve dignity on the job, deserve living wages, and the money's there.
And so what challenges do you see our your local or our movement right now really facing?
I think that capital has gotten really, really smart in some ways, and its tools are vast. So I think that we push back on a Goliath that has only gotten more sophisticated in the work that it does. And so there's the inclination to turtle down and to protect what we have, and that's absolutely the wrong response to that, because it's a matter of getting back to the basics, organizing our coworkers and organizing around hope that we can change it, and to not kind of surrender ourselves to that hopelessness, and that proximity to a billionaire is going to be what's going to keep us safe.
Great. And what do you think our next steps are or should be?
Organize. In that order.
All right. Thank you, AJ Mendoza, Communication Workers, Local 7901.
Absolutely.
I'm talking with Sherman Henry, who's a career instructor at the Labor Education Research Center of the University of Oregon. Sherman, what do you think are exciting things happening in our labor movement today?
Well, there seems to be more emphasis on bottom-up leadership. We're organizing communities and younger workers. We can look at some of the private sector organizing as well as the public sector organizing. And it seems like we're trying to build an intergenerational conversation about the needs of working class people. And it's not just a resolution being passed from the top or envisioned from the top, but a bottom-up idea of what unionization and collective bargaining and collective action really help shape the kind of experience from ordinary workers in this country. And I think that's the exciting part for me. Like,
and so what do you think our next steps need to be? How do we need to be moving forward?
Well, creating more opportunities for folks who have a different experience, particularly younger folks who see the glass as half empty. And so allowing their voice to be heard and giving them some assignments, right? So it's not just showing up at a picket line, but how do we put them in charge of committees? How do we give them and empower them with the tools that they can kind of go out and create space where folks have felt like in the shadows historically? So the next move, the next stages has to be more conversation about those experiences, their workers' experiences, where they have not necessarily felt a part of the labor movement. And so that's kind of multiple strategies that we have to kind of look at populations and how they identify what their interests are and figuring out what's the bridge to bring them into a collective conversation about changing America for the best, right? We know this whole Make America Great Again is not necessary for workers. Mm. It's making mm-hmm. corporations richer mm-hmm. and executives a lot more richer. So mm-hmm. that has to be a continuation. And as a labor educator, I think we're now also in the next step creating new curriculum about equity and inclusion. That's part of how we shape activist pipeline to kind of become militant. So that's one next step. Like, we can't apologize for folks having a militant mindset about those things that matter, because not all the time. We're not, history has never shown that we get anything by being too polite.
Mm-hmm. And with that, thank you very much, Sherman Henry of the Labor Education Research Center.
All right, thanks, brother.
So we're here talking with Dacia Graber, who's a firefighter with local 1660 Tualatin Valley Firefighters. Dacia, tell me what's exciting that's happening in your local or in the labor movement at large.
Oh, fantastic. Well, within our local, we're making a lot of efforts to increase. I'm the chair of the Equity and Inclusion Committee, and I've seen a whole bunch of policy work happen on sexual harassment, recruitment of women and minorities, and we're just embarking on looking at more gender-neutral policies as we build new stations and we move forward. So recognizing that we're not a binary society anymore, and reflecting that within the fire service, which sometimes they say is 200 years of tradition unimpeded by progress, I'm working on disrupting that.
Fabulous.
My whole union is, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's exciting. So what are your challenges? What are the main challenges that you're facing?
You know, we have a culture. The fire service culture is based on tradition. A lot of that tradition is really wonderful, and we carry that forth as our story. But as we grow, we become a more inclusive union. We have more of a political role. We recently became involved in the paid family leave. We sponsored the House bill on sexual harassment. We are one of the unions that co-signed onto that. So in addition to workers' rights, we see our role in the greater societal good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what do you think, where should we be going next? What are our next steps? What are the main things we should be biting off, focusing on?
There's a lot. Well, for your radio show, I think we really need to look at revenue reform in the state of Oregon. I think it's not a very sexy topic, but it's vitally important. We are owned by corporations in this state. We need to get back to being not only by the working people, but for the working people, not just in name. So we watched as our supermajority this year kind of sold out our workers, and I think we need to take that back.
Mm-hmm. How do we get there?
We elect progressives. We elect people who are, we elect labor candidates. We bring working people back to the table and make sure that they have a voice. We continue to be inclusive and continue our outreach.
Great. Anything else you'd like to say to our listeners at Labor Radio?
At Labor Radio, everybody keep standing up and making your voices heard, because it matters.
Thank you, Dacia Graber, firefighters.
Thank you.
Hi, you've been listening to Labor Radio here on KBOO. I'm Amanda Hill, one of your co-hosts. Labor Radio is so important in that it brings you information on the labor community, but it also brings us information on our community at large. We work with groups like Jobs with Justice and the labor councils, faith organizations, and we have them on to share their information, because labor affects us all. We all have jobs, and we all need to be treated fairly at work. We're also here at KBOO in the middle of our fall membership drive, and I'm going to turn you over to Conch and Emma now.
Hey, we're back over here at Pledge Central, and we just want to talk to you for a few minutes about why we love KBOO and why we hope that you will support KBOO right now during this break and this really great programming. You know, they were talking on Labor Radio about how the labor unions are for the working people, they're by the working people, they're a voice for the working people. And I can't think of a more apt description of what KBOO is as well. I'm a true believer in KBOO. I think that KBOO is really for the people. It's a station that's run by the people, and it's run for the people, and it's run with the interest of like working people of color, of people whose voices are not traditionally heard, undocumented workers, people in prison, all kinds of voices that you will not hear on corporate radio. This is not a radio station for billionaires. So if you're a billionaire, you can go to Fox News or some other radio station. Or some other if you want the voice of real people, of working people right now, you're listening to people from unions talking about militant organizing. And the important thing to take away from all this is that this is here because it is a real treasure. This is a real treasure, and it's a real joy to have this. But the only way that we can keep this going is by your support. So give us a call at 877-500-5266. Isn't that right, Conch?
Yes, and we want to thank Eric in North Portland. Woo-hoo. Eric has become a member. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Eric.
And you know, you can join by calling, you can join Eric by calling, you can go online, kboo.fm, or call 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. I just realized it's been 20 years this fall that I was up in Seattle with the WTO ministerial, and we had, you know, people getting
the
together.
Battle
we
in
called
Seattle.
We called it Turtles and Teamsters Together at Last. And, you know, this is important when people get together, when labor gets together, when the environmental movement gets together, there is huge power in that. And there's huge power when we get together with folks here at KBOO. So give us a call now. 877-500-KBOO. That's 877-500-5266.
Call now.
All right, we're talking with Jaime Rodriguez, who's the president of the American Federation of Teachers, Oregon American Federation of Teachers. Jaime, so what's exciting that's going on with your local or your statewide federation or the labor movement as a whole? What do you think is exciting?
Well,
right,
let's
now?
Say first of all, thanks for this opportunity to express what I'm seeing in the labor movement as I step in as a new role with AFT Oregon president. I started on July 1st. After 20 years in the rank and file, just moved my way up. And learning and observing other leaders. But what I realize is that with all the great work we've done in the past, there's still more greater work to accomplish. What I see immediately is the fact that what we're learning post-Janus now is that talking to our members one-on-one is so important, it's so crucial. We are struggling with making sure that we do the pushback on the Freedom Foundation that hurts our members and organizing efforts. But it's taught us a lesson that we just need to have a sit down and talk with our members as many times as we have to. Mm-hmm. We always got to remember that the things that we do are for them. We need to educate them. We need to get them organized and just have that member-to-member engagement. What I see on the horizon is that the Janus decision is only one of many more to come. So we always got to be prepared, ready, organized, ready to fight for what we believe is our shared values and workers' rights, whether that be housing affordability. The big thing is tuition debt. It's getting out of hand. A new report that just came out this morning on USA Today was the average graduate from the class of 29 from college is at 29,000 plus, almost 30,000. You know, and that's up about 4% from last year, which it's critical that if the federal government is not going to do anything about it, let's see what we can do statewide. Here with some legislation that we can control. That's on the horizon. Also, at least on our part here at AFT Oregon, we just missed getting a vote on the floor last session for healthcare for part-time instructors. They're pretty much working full-time by teaching at different campuses or even multiple campuses within their own district. So that's a crime that they're spending up to 70 hours a week just so that they can, at the end of the month, pay private insurance companies way above what normal labor folks are doing. So we need to work on that, and hopefully we'll get a vote in the February session. Going on forward is making sure that the PERS reform vote that happened, Senate Bill 1049, as public union employees, union members, we can be frustrated, we can be angry. But we've got to remember that these are our legislatures for the next session, at least. We've got to work with them. And we've got to take the full session in stride to saying that you take that one PERS reform vote out of the way, it was a great session for for the working individuals of the state.
Mm-hmm.
We got better paid leave. You know, we got that the PECPA bill in 2016 that really is going to help us in the workplace. We've got some more great things on criminal justice that we need to do a little bit more. But as a whole, we've got to continue making sure that we have voices at the city council meetings, at school board meetings, because you know what, these are our children, these are our community, and we just cannot sit back and allow somebody else to dictate the message, dictate the policies. Every union member needs to get up and really do a shout in their community. And again, it's got to be at that local level, school board, city councils, county commissioners, and then when there's time, and the extension of that is making sure they continue having conversations with their local House District Representative, State Senator, because they want to hear our complaints, our concerns, and not just the bad things, but you know, sometimes they do some things right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we got to give credit for that. But you know, we got to remember that, you know what, there are, for the moment, elected officials. So, but let's have that conversation. Just don't be angry or frustrated. Go talk to them.
All right. Jaime Rodriguez, President of Oregon American Federation of Teachers, thank you very much for your
time.
Thank
you, Jamie. Thank you so much.
All right. Again, with Mark Brenner, who's a faculty member at the University of Oregon Labor Center. So, Mark, what's exciting about the labor movement these days?
Well, Jamie, how can you say anything other than the strike wave? We've got so many strikes happening around the country, you know, almost 50,000 GM workers out on strike right now. We've got hospital workers, grocery store workers, university workers right here at home in Oregon preparing for strikes. I feel like there's really a sense of people have had it, you know, they're mad as hell and they're not going to take it anymore. And I think it's about time. We need more of that fight. We need more of that energy. We need more people standing up on the job.
And it's happening.
Absolutely, and in spades. We need to keep building on it. I mean, there's so many other places where we could see this kind of action, and it would have really monumental repercussions.
So, what are the challenges facing our movement right now?
I think there's two that really stick out to me. Number one is that our structures don't really they don't really allow us to be where we need to be. You know, think of all these Amazon workers and all these folks working in, you know, whether it's Lyft and Uber or, you know, working in the restaurant industry. You know, there's a lot of energy to organize in places like that. And the unions that would traditionally represent those folks are not really positioned to organize them. And so there's this kind of mismatch between like what you can do as a scrappy group of 10 folks in your workplace at Amazon versus what you would really need to organize, you know, Jeff Bezos's beast. And I think, you know, so that's one part that I think is a real problem, is that where there's energy and enthusiasm, we don't always have the best structures to address it. And the second is, I think that within our own unions, we still suffer such a legacy of kind of protocol and decorum. You know, there's so little space for real disagreement, debate, for rank and file initiative. You know, people look at you sideways when you challenge your president or when you stand up and say, I don't think we ought to do that. And I think it's a holdover from a really old, you know, long, long legacy in this labor movement. The 20th century mostly was sort of protocol and decorum era, and it's really hurt us because honestly, how are we going to figure out what the best strategy is if we don't have some pretty intense, you know, debate and discussion with ourselves about what is it going to take to win? And I think too often we see our, you know, labor leaders shying away from that or scared that the outcome will be divisive. And I think, you know, that's a real risk. Obviously, we want unity. But we want real unity. We want unity that comes after a serious, you know, discussion and threshing of what the issues are. And so, you know, we see bits and pieces of that happening in different unions around the country, certainly even here in Oregon. And I think it's a really healthy development. But I think it's a big challenge that we're facing. So I hope to see more of that. We need more, you know, we need more debate, discussion, and, you know, floor fights at our conventions, not less.
So more debate, discussion, floor fights, and restructuring. How do we take those steps? How do we get there? What are the next steps?
Well, I mean, obviously, we need to remember that the most important thing is what we're doing on the job every day. Like, the union is not, you know, the convention where we all gather in some convention center. It's not about, you know, who's on what committee and such. It's really about what we're doing when we go back to work. I've been having these discussions so often with people this weekend at the AFL-CIO convention about, you know, getting members involved. And so many people I run into are like, oh, nobody's coming to meetings. And it's really like that mindset is so warped. Like, it's not about coming to a union meeting. It's about taking the stuff that we want people to know and do out of a union meeting to the members, right? So how are we bringing that program, that plan, that vision of how do we win? How do we, you know, get stronger contracts? How do we protect our status in the industry? You know, if you're in like if you're an electrical worker or a mason, how do we organize the unorganized? That stuff has to go straight where people spend most of their days, most of their waking hours, which is in the workplace. So I think that's really got to be the center of it. And I think the strike wave is really going to help us get there.
All right.
So I'm quite optimistic, Jimmy. It's a great time to be a labor activist in the U.S. and here in Oregon, too.
Thank you, Mark Brenner from the University of Oregon Labor Center.
And that wraps it up for Labor Radio this Monday and every Monday, from 6 to 6:30. I'm your host, Jamie Partridge. You've been listening to interviews with Oregon labor leaders at the Oregon AFL-CIO convention in Seaside this past weekend. And don't forget to boycott Fred Meyers in solidarity with the workers' struggle for pay equity for women workers at Fred Meyers Grocery.
You're listening to KBOO, Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM. Stay tuned for Hard Knock Radio.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who have donated food to our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Bridges Cafe and Catering, located at 2716 Northeast MLK Jr. Boulevard. Bridges Cafe and Catering is a restaurant and catering company located in Northeast Portland on the corner of MLK Jr. and Northeast Knott Street. Their kitchen is about 75% organic, open daily. Lunch was provided by Flying Pie Pizzeria, located in Montevilla at 7804 Southeast Stark Street, open daily from lunch to dinner, serving a variety of pizzas. Dinner was provided by Boke Bowl, with two locations at 1028 Southeast Water Avenue and 1200 Northwest 18th Street at Northrop. Boke Bowl serves ramen of handmade noodles, unique slow simmer dashis, and more. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give right now.